Hey, Smetters.
Hey.
How was your week this week?
Well, actually, it wasn't that bad, Jennifer. How was yours?
It was okay. It wasn't that bad.
I do have something to say, though.
What?
So, you know how everybody has, like, New Year's resolutions and... You know, a lot of people break them, you know, shortly after this, that, and the other.
Yes.
Evidently, I had a New Year's resolution to just start eating worse. Because ever since the first, I haven't stopped.
I know.
Like, I shouldn't be eating the stuff I'm eating. Guys, right now, I'm drinking a damn milkshake. I don't need a milkshake. At all.
I didn't get a milkshake.
But you had one yesterday.
There's a reason, though.
Yeah, because it's good.
No, there was a reason. Y'all... Whenever we get something to eat, we have to, like, we have four people in this house. So, it's easier to get the app and order it on the app so I can get everybody's order right and then just go pick it up instead of getting to the drive-thru and ordering for everybody. Because this family, oh my gosh, they can't get something how it's made. It has to be, I don't want this on it. I want this a certain way. Taco Bell. Yes, I don't want beans or rice or blah, blah, blah. So... We had Chick-fil-A the other day, and I get on the app, and they're like, happy birthday, here's you a free milkshake, and it's gonna, if you don't get it within 7 days.
So you had to get it.
I did have to get it. If you don't get it within 7 days, you don't get it. So I was like.
So you're having a problem saying no?
Well, I didn't want to turn down something free.
Huh.
So
you know what else is free?
What?
My love.
My loving. So I got me a milkshake. Y'all.
Move that down a little bit, please. That scares me every time. Guys, we, on our recording, we have a, you know, the little thing up on our screen or whatever. And she keeps the mouse right on the start and stop, pause button, whatever it is. One time we had done almost... God, I swear it was like 45-minute episode. And the screen saver started to come up, so she hit it, not realizing, you know, where she keeps her mouse on that little start-stop button. And it had stopped. So we had to do the whole damn episode over again. So I always try to get her to move the mouse away from that stop button.
I don't think you talked that whole episode when we redid it. You're like, mm-hmm.
Oh, I was pissed. I was so pissed.
So... Also, Troy and I have gotten to the point where...
We just said the hell with it.
Oh, no.
Never mind.
Oh, my gosh. You're so loud with your milkshake.
It brings all the boys to the yard.
Yeah, it does. We're, like, to the point where we're ready to get a new puppy. And we've been... Please stop. Oh,
it's
my gosh.
Really good.
So...
I'm almost done with it.
Hurry. Just hurry.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, oh my God, if you don't stop.
It's really good.
Y'all, this is like that episode where he had all those M&M wrappers.
Hey, where's my damn cherry at?
Oh, they didn't give you one.
Go get me another.
Nope. Anyway, so, are you good now?
Yep.
We're at the point where we're wanting to get another puppy. Like, y'all know we have dogs, but... We don't have our small dog. So we've been looking at different breeds or whatever. And I asked him, I was like, what about a pug? And he's like, yeah, I like pugs. And I've always wanted one because I've got this weird obsession with Marie Antoinette. And she had a pug. And I was like, and its name was Mops. And I was like, so we'll get a pug and we can name it Mops. And he's like, let me tell you something.
I don't remember that.
Oh, you don't? Mm-hmm. You were like, you're not a French princess, so there is no way we're naming it Mops. Yes, we are.
I was just going to do something.
It's fine. So,
it's fine.
Tonight's story is kind of a fun one. We're doing an alien story, and I feel like we've been doing a lot of deep stories like demons and stuff like that. And I figured tonight we just need something light and kind of fun, you know?
Okay.
So.
Yeah, because we've been watching, and like, I told her that I had a bad dream the other night, but in all honesty, it really wasn't a bad dream. She had, you know, last week she had done the story on demons or whatever. So I had.
No, I'm still working on the story with demons.
Or we had talked about
it. Yeah, we talked about possession.
So anyways, I had a dream where I got possessed by demons. And the thing is, it wasn't like scary demons. It was literally like Supernatural, the show. Like, it wasn't a scary dream. I was like blowing black smoke out of my mouth and another demon got in, that sort of thing. It was almost humorous. But she's like, oh no, because I talked about it, we have to stop doing it now. I'm like, no, it was.
Well, the thing is, the night that you had that dream, because I'm still doing that, I'm working on that whole demons episode that I want to do with the seven princes of hell. Now, I'm doing one demon a night. The demon I had done the night he had that dream was the demon that likes to possess people. It's his favorite thing to do is possession. So then you like text me and you're like, I was possessed. And I was like, oh my God. I thought he was serious. I was like, you were possessed last night in your sleep? And you were like, it was a dream though. And I was like, this is getting kind of scary. So I figured let's do something kind of light and fun this week. And then we'll hop back on the demon train next week. So this week we are going to do the story of Valiant Thor.
Thor?
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
Cool.
Yes, it's a crazy story. And it's different. So, let's get started in it. Let's dive on in. Now, this is a story that's almost unbelievable. This story would make for a fantastic movie. But the stories like these are usually the ones that are true. So, open up your mind and pay close attention because this will make you look at the American government in a whole new light. Let's take a trip back to 1957 when times were a little more simple. Our story starts in a field in Alexandria, Virginia. Erase what you would imagine a stereotypical alien might look like. We're talking about a whole different kind. In March of 1957, about 20 minutes from the White House, there's a quiet crop field. Coming from the sky is a giant silver saucer. It's definitely not from our world. Two officers arrive on the scene, weapons drawn, ready for what might happen next. The door starts to open, but what came out was what looked like a man. He was about 6 feet tall, had brown hair and brown eyes. The officers were ready, but... The officers were ready, but the being had a warm, welcoming smile and waved at him. He was wearing a gold jumpsuit. He had 6 fingers on each hand. He tells the police, I mean you no harm, but he does need a meeting with President Eisenhower. Also, he told them all this telepathically. The police don't question any of this. They put him in the car and take him straight to the Pentagon. When they arrive, they are greeted by the Secretary of Defense. He then assigns armed guards to take him through the halls. They come to an elevator that takes him to the basement. He is then transferred to an underground train. Now pause right here. I saw in some places there was an underground train, and then I saw in some places that he met the president at the Pentagon. So think what you will on that one. As I said, it was kind of like a system that connects the White House to the Pentagon. Now, I've never heard of this, but also the government is full of secrets and we don't know everything. They get to the White House and he is taken to the Oval Office. The doors open and he is greeted by President Eisenhower. The president is so excited. He shakes the being's hand and asks what his name is. His name is Valiant Thor. Val for short. Val tells the president he has traveled from the planet our Bible calls the Morning Star. So the president says, okay, so that's Venus. But the president needs proof. Val says, of course, you can come see my spaceship. Eisenhower says he would love to, but he can't just leave the White House just like that. At that point, Vice President Nixon walks in and greets Val. Nixon was fascinated with the being. He says to Val, quote, "You have certainly caused a stir for an out-of-towner. Of course, we are not totally convinced of anything just yet, but suffice it to say we are checking and double-checking everything you say and do. When the sergeant radioed in and stated you had just landed in a flying saucer, we thought he had flipped. Say, were you in that UFO flap over Washington? You certainly had us all in a dither if you were." Val then starts talking. He says that he's been sent to Earth by the High Council. The High Council is a group of beings looking out for the less intelligent species of the universe, also known as us. His mission is to speak with the military leaders and try to convince them to deactivate all the nuclear arsenals, because nuclear warfare is a concern for the whole galaxy, not just Earth. Now, here's a side note, y'all, if you're wondering why he went straight to the president. Eisenhower has a history of conspiring with aliens.
Remember that show we watched? That's where we got our technology from, and the microwave, and was it American Horror Story?
He's in American Horror Story. Valiant Thor is. Mm. It's pretty neat. Like, a lot of this is an American Horror Story. So, as I said, Eisenhower has a history of conspiring with aliens. In February of 1954, Eisenhower was vacationing in Palm Springs. After dinner, Eisenhower never returned to his room. Now, this was crazy for nobody to know where Eisenhower was. They even said that he could be dead since they could not find him. This caused a huge stir. Now, he was actually rushed off to an appointment, which is confirmed, but the next morning he told his colleagues he needed emergency dental work. But many believe that was a cover. Many believe he was called to the Edwards Air Force Base. When he got there, he met with two alien beings wanting to make a deal. This wasn't the only meeting they had. This meeting led to a written agreement between America and the alien beings called the Griotta Treaty. These alien beings were the Greys. The Greys are the little gray men that most people think of when they think of aliens. The terms for the treaty were that they give America some of their advanced technology if they could abduct humans for experimentation. Eisenhower agreed as long as the names of the people abducted were reported back to the government's UFO research committee. By doing this, it would help the U.S. get ahead in the Cold War. Also, in the 1960s, there was an increase in people claiming to be abducted by aliens.
Yeah, it's, you didn't hear anything about it before then until stuff happened, you know?
Yeah. With all that being said, that may be the reason Val went straight to Eisenhower. The president told Val he couldn't make any promises about disarming the nuclear arsenals, but he would definitely try. He starts working on it and gives Val a nice, lavish apartment in the Pentagon. Val helps out. He helps out the top scientists with things like medical research and space exploration. The scientists start studying Val, and they find out his IQ is way over 200. They even put a spacesuit under some tests. The military tried everything to destroy it, including lasers. They put it in acid. They put it in acid to see if anything would happen to it, and nothing happened to it. Some even say that Val would teleport in and out of his apartment. After his arrival, he brings in his other crew members, Dawn and Jill. They go to a UFO convention in New Jersey. Everyone was amazed. They could speak every language known to man. A photographer gets a picture of the aliens. I will post this picture, y'all. A little bit away from New Jersey, Dr. Frank Stranges, author and minister, is working on his next book. He's very dedicated to his faith, and he has degrees in psychology, criminology, and theology. He also has a huge obsession with UFOs. Frank gets a call from a friend named August Roberts. August is an Air Force photographer. He was also, right?
Back then.
He was also the photographer from the UFO convention. August tells Frank all about the aliens he just saw. He rushes to Frank's house to show the pictures, and Frank thought the pictures looked normal, didn't think anything of them, but thought there could be something amazing about the man in the picture. Everyone around him just looked captivated by everything he did. So Frank decides to keep a copy of it. A year later, he's on a tour promoting his latest book. He's visiting churches, talking about how aliens are more connected with the Bible than what we think. He believes UFOs are angels sent to Earth by God to make it a better place. So after his presentation, he shows the picture of Valiant Thor. After one of his lectures in Washington, he meets a woman from the Pentagon. She asks him if he wants to meet the man from the picture. Frank jumps at the chance. The next day, he meets the lady. She takes him to the Pentagon. They get past security and they get to a door. Frank goes in and sees three army men doing paperwork. They kind of ignore him. And then Val walks in. He tells Frank he needs an open-minded person who believes in aliens, but also has a strong Christian faith. He says people need to know that Jesus is actually an alien. Val says God is displeased with mankind, but he hasn't lost all hope yet. He needs Frank to help deliver this message so humans can return to the Lord. In exchange, Val will tell Frank the secrets of the universe. Val also confirms there's life on many other planets. He even tells Frank things he doesn't know about himself. He later went and verified everything with his parents that the alien told him. He never says what it was, but it turns out everything Val said was true. Val says there's only a few people in Washington that know he exists. Val's instructions from the High Council was to stay on Earth until March of 1960. Val is realizing he won't complete his mission. Frank says politicians know about Val but won't help because if the world knew about him, the people would follow Val and not the government, and that would cause mass chaos. So he needs Frank to continue his work when he leaves. But he also tells Frank to be careful. People are going to come after him, and he's got to be extremely paranoid in everything he does. Frank leaves with this meeting from Val, and he is totally overwhelmed. But he's excited, and he believes everything the alien has told him. Okay. It is now up to Frank to get Val's message out. In 1967... Frank goes to speak at a UFO convention in Germany. As soon as he gets there, he has an interview with an Italian magazine. They meet him in a restaurant. They question Frank up and down about Val. Where is he? Where did he come from? What does he look like? What's he doing right now? All kinds of things. Really aggressive. Frank then gets a phone call. He comes back to the table, and the reporter and the photographer are gone. He thinks nothing of it and continues to eat his soup that he had ordered. But when he takes a bite, it tastes weird. It tastes grainy. He starts to feel pain in his body. His interpreter takes him upstairs to his hotel room. At this point, Frank is coughing up blood. His interpreter pulls out a vial of powder and puts it in water and tells Frank to drink it. He drinks it. He then falls into a deep sleep. Frank then wakes up after a few hours, and he feels wonderful. No more pain, nothing. He asks how he had the vial of powder to save him. The interpreter said he didn't know what it was, but someone called him and told him to take it to the meeting. At that point, the phone rings. It was Val. He said, "Frank, didn't I tell you to be careful about who you meet with?" Val had saved Frank's life. He told Frank to take extreme caution during his trip, but they will see each other soon. 7 months later, Frank receives another call from Val. He tells Frank to fly to San Diego. As soon as he gets off the plane, he sees Valiant Thor. Val helps Frank get his bags in a rental car, and they drive towards the Mexico border. They arrive in San Felipe and get on board a boat. They sail a good ways out, but then they stop, and Frank sees something amazing. It was a huge silver saucer floating above the water. They get closer, and they welcome Frank inside. Frank is so excited. When he gets in, he is told to disrobe and goes through a sterilization chamber. He is then given a jumpsuit, just like the one Val landed in, and after that, he gets a full feast of food and drink. Stuff he had never seen before. Then they give him a tour. The ship has a library, an auditorium, and it even has its own power plant inside. The weird part is, Frank is taken in this room with Val and his crew, and they're looking at a giant monitor, kind of like a movie theater. Except this monitor can look at anything happening anywhere and at any time. On this day, Bobby Kennedy is giving a speech at the Ambassador Hotel. According to Frank, Val had built a trusting relationship with Bobby Kennedy. A few weeks prior, Bobby asked Val his chances on becoming president. Val warned him, "You will make a great president in 4 years, but right now, stay out of the limelight. I beg you, you have to keep low key." So they all sat in front of the monitor and watched while Bobby started to finish his speech. Then as he started to walk off the stage, shots rang out. Bobby is laying dead on the floor. Frank is in shock. He cannot believe what just happened. But Val and his crew sat there like they knew what was coming. Then one of the crew members said, "If only he would have listened to you, Val." Now, this story sounds extremely far-fetched, but people around Frank have said his story has never changed once over the years, down to the single detail. Nothing changed. A few years later, Frank is summoned to Las Vegas to meet with Val again. Outside of the airport, Frank sees these two men with black suits waving him over to their limousine. Frank thinks they're friends with Val and that Val sent him to come pick him up. Turns out, Val doesn't know who they are. They take Frank to the middle of the desert, throw him out of the limo, and beat him almost to death. Many think these men are the men in black.
Could be.
Luckily, Val and his crew aren't that far away. They pull up and chase the men away and help Frank. Frank still doesn't stop trying to spread Val's message. In 1985, Frank and his new bride are on their honeymoon, driving from the Hoover Dam, when a car materializes out of nowhere and runs them off the road. This is the third attempt on Frank's life. It almost works this time. Frank's wife is okay, but Frank is left paralyzed from the neck down. He's at the hospital where the doctors are going over his neck and back injuries. Things aren't looking good. But once the doctors leave Frank alone, a familiar face appears in his room. It's Val. He is there to save Frank. Frank said all Val did was put his healing hand on him. He felt warm tingles all over, and within hours, Frank walked out of the hospital with no injuries whatsoever. The doctors were stumped. Frank and Val remain close even to this day. They even read a book together called Outriding Tomorrow. Frank even says that Val is still on Earth today. He is right outside of Las Vegas in his invisible ship, the Victor 1, But this isn't the only ship on Earth. They are scattered all over the globe in every continent. Now, I know this story is hard to believe, but this story is validated by the Air Force photographer who got the picture of Val. And we also have a Dr. Harley Bird, and he worked for the Air Force's UFO research program called Project Blue Book, a confirmed operation from 1952 to 1969. Dr. Bird had access to top secret documents that mentioned Valiant Thor. The story was backed up by the former Canadian Minister of National Defense, Paul Hillier. He said there have been many face-to-face meetings with government officials and aliens, but the best evidence was with Valiant Thor. He says Val's mission was a massive turning point in global history and an opportunity that mankind failed to take. We also have Eisenhower's great-granddaughter, Laura. She said Val was put on VIP status by the government, and her great-grandfather tried to schedule a meeting with the United Nations to talk about Val, but he got shut down. For the last 75 years, it's said that we have had many out-of-towners near nuclear storage and testing sites. Frank passed away in 2008, but Val has been in communication with other authors to get his point across. In 2016, he wrote the introduction for Gray Barker's book, Mysterious Ascensions. It says, "We will be watching developments, hoping for the day when those involved in UFO research vote out the corrupt leaders and media stars and start afresh with the next crop of researchers, eagerly awaiting in the wings. Embrace change, and you just may embrace the truth." Hmm. And that is the story on Valiant Thor.
Yay! Good job.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Also, there's a lot, it's really hard to find things about this. You can look up the Griotta Treaty and what? The Griotta Treaty that Eisenhower supposedly signed with the aliens about the abduction and trading in technology and stuff. And
that was an American Horror Story.
Yeah. That all of American Horror Story, it's, I can't remember. See if you can find that episode.
It was a while. Remember, they were trying to make the perfect species or whatever. Remember,
it was two stories. There was one where they were making the perfect species, and then there was one about Roswell and Eisenhower.
Yeah, like they.
It was a split story.
Yeah,
and Valiant Thor is actually in the Eisenhower one. You remember when his wife cheats on him with that young guy?
Yeah.
That's Valiant Thor. But, yes, it is actually an American Horror Story. And then I was listening to something about it today. And if you remember the story we did on the Dulce Air Force Base, they have a documentary on the man that went public and mysteriously died afterwards. There's a documentary on it. Turns out that Valiant Thor is in that documentary as well. It shows a picture of him and Nixon. I couldn't find that picture, and I did not have time to look at that documentary tonight. I would really like to, because the Dulce Air Force Base, that was the one that had all the levels of aliens underground, and there was a secret war, you remember?
Yeah.
That was a really fascinating case. But I looked up so much stuff on Valiant Thor. I think he has a Twitter.
Cinema chirp.
But, yes, apparently I read that he can get to be 500 years old. And like I said, they're scattered everywhere trying to make sure that mankind does the right thing and trying to kind of watch over us. And the High Council thing, that was on one of the Marvel movies or something, wasn't it? It was a High Council where they had to go talk to all the different alien species in a room or something.
Well, that's the very last one where Zeus was there and he strips down Thor.
Was, I don't know if that was it. I don't know. There's like some movie. Yeah, but there's some movie, and these are like all alien, like different alien beings that they're talking about the High Council.
Well, you know, E.T. was in Star Wars.
Yes, he was.
He was part of the Senate. But then Darth Sidious became the Senate.
I am the Senate.
I am the Seth.
But yeah, I thought that was a fun story. And it's but very it's
no story that you would hear from a Jedi.
It's a very interesting story, and it's almost believable with the people that had accounts with Thor, and you know, it's just really it's a fun story. It's something to believe in. And y'all, I'll post pictures on Instagram. I found one picture of Valiant Thor, and then I was going to post a picture of Eisenhower and Nixon. But yeah, I'd also like to know about that underground subway system from the Pentagon to the White House. What do you think about that? You think that's real?
Yes.
Really? Because mm-hmm. I was kind of like, I heard that and I was like, an underground subway. Wouldn't we know about that? But
I think there's already stuff like that.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. And y'all, he looks just like us. So I'm pretty excited about this story. But I would like to get those books. He also wrote another book, Frank Strangis. It's called A Stranger in the Pentagon. And you can probably find that on Amazon. But, you know, I had fun with this. I had a lot of fun. I really got involved in it. And I was like, what's Val going to do next, you know? So now I'm wanting to go watch American Horror Story and watch that. And now we'll be like, oh my gosh, we know exactly what they're talking about.
Remember also, too, there's a lot of different movies. I know it wasn't to the Pentagon, but remember those movies with Vin Diesel and...
Riddick.
Yeah. No, not Riddick.
What is Riddick?
Idiot.
Isn't he like on...
Ice Cube, and then like they try to take over the White House, and they get on that bullet train that sweeps out of the White House real quick because it's under attack.
I don't know.
He
was an alien.
Triple X.
He was an alien in Riddick.
Yeah, that's why I said moron.
He had an alien dog in Riddick. I cried when his dog died. Spoiler alert.
Well, that movie is like 25 years old, you old goat. So it's not much of a spoiler.
I just saw it the other day, y'all.
You watched Riddick the other day?
No, I didn't. I wasn't around when it came out.
Where were you, Dad?
I wasn't born yet. I'm so young.
Okay. Anyways, you have the worst jokes ever.
Obviously. But yes, that is our story.
And we're sticking to it.
We're sticking to it. I'm going to continue on the demon special we're going to do. I promised that would be a middle of the week thing, and I will let y'all know when that is coming up. We've had some questions about that too, like when we're going to start on that. So it's funny though, y'all. I've gotten into it, and I'll get into one of the demons, and then there's like multiple people in there that I feel like y'all need to know about. And so then I'll start a story on them. So it's like a story within a story within a story.
You got some major ADHD problems.
I really do. So, but I just want like everybody to have the full understanding. Like I was doing one demon and they mentioned Lilith, and I was like, well, maybe people don't know who Lilith is. So I started a story on Lilith, and then I've got to get back to the other ones. And it's a process. It's going to be such a great story and a scary story at that, but I just want to get it right, and I just want it to be just excellent. So anyway, so other news, Troy has gotten me to start watching Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty is awesome.
It is so great. I came home the other day and Troy was watching it. I think he's tired of The Office now, y'all. And
I'm not tired of it. It's just, I've just seen it so much. Literally, I can repeat it verbatim.
You can. You sent me a text the other day and I was like, what are you talking about? And you were like, Phyllis. But yeah, y'all, he was watching Duck Dynasty when I came in, and I was so tired. I just sat there and I started watching it, and Troy's like, you can turn it off if you want. And I was like, no, I'm fine. And I kept watching it, and Troy's like, no, really, you can turn it off, you don't have to watch it. Y'all, I'm obsessed with this show. This show is so funny.
Yeah, I like Duck Dynasty. I remember I got into it a long time ago, and then I stopped for whatever reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But it was really good. Like, it's, I don't know why I stopped.
So funny. Like, the stuff they eat and all that, I'm just like, I don't know how.
Well, I was a major, grown-up major country boy, so I've heard of all this stuff. I haven't eaten it, but, like, when you talk about squirrel dumplings and all that stuff, I mean, that stuff's real.
I thought you were always joking whenever you mentioned squirrel dumplings. I was like, ah, that's funny. Yes, they do all that in this show, and they're so funny. And we've got 11 seasons to watch, so I'm excited. But y'all, thanks for hanging out for our super fun story. Think about it. See what you come up with if you believe that Valiant Thor is a real thing or not. I'd love to know what you guys think. So check out the pictures on our Instagram at Supernatural Smut Podcast. And y'all make good choices, drink lots of water, and bundle up.
Yeah, the weather is really freaky here. I don't know where all of you guys are at, but it was 60 degrees one day, and the next day it was 30.
And it snowed.
Yeah, it snowed. It's really insane.
It really is, and I did not have a jacket that day, and I was freezing. So, anyway, y'all, just dress for everything. Just layer up, and you can strip down when you need to.
I like stripping down.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, y'all. We will see y'all next Sunday.
Bye, guys.
Bye.